Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's good to see you this evening. We're studying through the book of Matthew, and we are in the sixth chapter of this very exciting book. We've been studying about the importance of the Word of God, how relevant that Word is, and how it is that we must have the Word. But when we talk about having the Word of God, we're not just talking about knowing what it says. A lot of people know what the Word of God says and actually add to it. But when we're talking about the Word of God, we're talking about living the Word, or allowing the Word of God to live in us and through us. And those two things are important. Have the Word of God live in us and through us. We've understood, as we've studied the Word of God, that when God breathed into man and man became a living soul, that really what he breathed into us was his Word, because everything came alive by his Word. Amen? The thing that gives me life is the Word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. We live by the Word of God. So the Word of God is very important to us. And in that importance, we need to understand what it's saying to us, because whatever the Word of God says to us is what gives us life. When we live contrary to what the Word of God is saying, we are bringing death into our life. So in a sense then, when the Word of God says life and death are in the power of the tongue, we've got to understand that life and death, which is in the power of the tongue, and I believe I did the teaching on that, on what that power is, and I shared with us about the fact that the power is our mind, our mindset. And what influences our mind is the Word of God. That's what helps us become more and more like Christ. And if we don't have the Word of God, and we have the words of this world, then that's what begins to influence and control our lifestyle and our daily living. So the Word of God is very crucial. It's important to us. Any wonder then that the Word of God says to us in Matthew 6, beginning to read from verse 1, it says, take heed. Watch out for this. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Now, it says there's a reward when we give alms. That's what the Word of God just told us. There is a reward when we give alms. But when you give alms and you show off with the giving of alms, then you've got your reward already. It says, take heed. Watch out for this, that you do not your alms before men. Don't let everybody see you doing whatever it is that you're doing. Now, when it says, take heed that you do not your alms before men, it's not saying that nobody should see you, because there are going to be people that see you. It is about you doing it so that people see you. Now, I tell you, you've heard me tell this story before. About, you know what story I'm going to tell. Lord, have mercy. Well, if this happened when I was just a baby Christian, it would be funny enough. But this is after I've been a Christian for many years, and I'm pastoring, that's when this happened. I had this car. You guys know the story already. I had this car. And It was a car before its time, in a sense, because this car had a chip in it that spoke to you. So the car, if your door opens, the car will say, "A door is ajar," and nobody else had the car that talks like this one. At least I didn't know of any. And one day, I drove my son to a soccer practice. I was the first person there, and sitting down there. And I'm sitting there for one reason and one reason alone. That the next person who pulls by me, when they open their door, I will open my door also, and my car will talk. And so, sure enough, after a while, somebody pulls up, and I open my car, and the car says, "A door is ajar." And I felt so good. I was so special, so important. I have a car that talks. Then it dawned on me, you know, the Holy Spirit just waits for you until you make a good fool of yourself, and then he starts tapping on you. "Excuse me, what were you just doing? It dawned on me, my goodness. I was in this car, sitting in this car for all these minutes just to show off that my car could talk. This car, I've made it define my dignity, my esteem. A rust bucket. You look at that car, I'm sure you'll find some rust in it somewhere. That's showing off. And that's what the Lord is talking about. You do whatever it is you need to do just to show off. He says, you do that, you got your reward already. Your heavenly Father will not be able to reward you. He's just showing off. So the Word of God is telling us here, God is a rewarder. God rewards. But you can lose your reward when you seek your reward from something else or someone else. Freely you've received, freely give. Don't be seeking rewards. Let God be your rewarder. Amen? Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee. I'm going to go give alms now. Everybody, come see what I'm going to do now. Come see it. Do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. The glory that men give to them, that's their reward. You want men to reward you? Keep at it. You get the rewards of men, the accolades of men, and you lose the reward that comes from your Father. You want the reward of your Father? Then do whatever it is that you're doing secretly. Just do it. Just do it quietly. You don't have to broadcast it. He says, but when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. Why? That thine alms may be in secret. Your alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee. How? Openly. He says, God will reward you openly. Amen? Openly, he will reward you. He will manifest, he will point the spotlight on you. You did it in secret, but God will publicly honor you. But if you seek honor publicly, then God does nothing. You seek secretly. You honor God secretly with your giving, and God honors you publicly. I want you to notice that statement, secret and openly. Verse 5, and when thou prayest, when you're praying, thou should not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. They have their reward. Their reward is people saw them praying publicly. Now, how does that relate to us today? It relates to us in this wise, that sometimes our prayer life in the secret is very meager. We don't pray when we're at home. We hardly pray in secret, but when we're in public, we're going to be that prayer warrior. We're going to pray so fervently, everybody takes notice. We have all the right words. We quote everything that is quotable. We prophesy, we everything, but in secret, there's no prayer life. God says, you know what? You don't have a secret prayer life, but all you're doing is praying publicly. You got your reward already. People saw you praying, and they've already marked you prayer warrior. But answers to your prayers that you prayed publicly, which you have not prayed privately, don't expect me to reward you. Do you understand? It is not the public prayer that produces the answers. It is a private prayer. Now, we can pray publicly, but if you're praying publicly, not because you want people to see how well you pray, that's a totally different situation. Of course, people are going to see you praying. But what is the motivation? If your motivation is so that people see how powerful you pray, well, they said, your powerful prayer, that's your reward. That's the reward you get. So he says to us, when you are in public, be brief. And I'm going to show to you in just a moment. Be brief. Be succinct. Just get to the point and get out of it. You don't have to pray a long 20-hour prayer in public. Pray your 20-hour prayer in private, in public. Do something different. You know, see, if we want to have let's say, for example, you are at a banquet or some breakfast meeting or something with fellow believers, you're in a conference and you happen to be eating together with fellow believers, and say somebody should pray for the food. And you spend 10 minutes praying and casting out every demon. Well, I tell you what, while you're praying and casting out Beelzebub and all of that, I've already said my amen, I'm going to be eaten. You stop it. That's not the time to pray those long prayers. The time to pray your long prayers is at home. Now we want to eat. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen. Let's eat. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. But people do crazy stuff like that. Prayer that should, you know, be 30 seconds. Now it's 10 minutes later. We've not ended. Everybody's fidgeting. You start thinking about the hamburger they should be eating now. Well, it says, verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. Now, I like it when, you know, preachers, you know, take certain license, but, you know, sometimes the license is too much. The word here for closet is not your prayer shawl. You know, people say, okay, your closet, you carry a prayer shawl and you cover yourself. That's not what it is. That's not what the word is. It's nice. Thank you very much for the prayer shawl. It just says, go into your closet, go into your storage room. Basically, the idea is step into the place where you bring your treasures. The place where you bring, you store things. He says, step into that place. The reason for it is this, twofold. One, you step into that storage place and you see that it's empty, then you want to fill it. If it is full, you want to thank God for the plenty that is in there. Do you understand? That's the idea. It's not a prayer shawl, but praise God for your prayer shawl. We're going to be going to Israel. We're going to buy prayer shawls and stuff like that. But that's not really what it's talking about here. And I've heard, you know, ministers, you know, try to make the closet that. But it says here, verily I say unto you, but thou when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. Pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee, how? Openly. Same statement. Regarding alms, regarding prayer, he says, do it in secret. I'll reward you openly. You do it openly so that everybody can see you got your reward already. He says, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions. Don't be using vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. They think they're going to be heard from their much speaking. Now, what is vain repetitions? Vain repetitions are statements made without a faith connection. Now that's different from praying and asking the Lord for something again and again. Now, you can repeat prayers and it is still of faith, and repeat prayers and it is an act of unbelief. What is the difference? The difference is the Word of God says, knock and keep on knocking and the door shall be opened. Seek and keep on seeking and you're going to find. Ask, keep on asking. So you keep on saying the same thing, putting pressure on a particular situation until there is a breakthrough. You have a sense of a breakthrough. There are times when you just keep on hitting at the target. Not because you think God has not heard you, but because God is calling you to an act of faith. For example, the Lord says, if you say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and do not doubt in your heart, but believe that those things which you say or you are saying shall come to pass, you shall have what you are saying. So there's a continuation. But there are times when you pray something, and the first time you pray it, you know it's done. But there are going to be times when you have to push at it. You have to go at it. You have to go at it until you have that breakthrough. Now, that's different from vain reputation. Vain reputation is just repeating a mantra, just repeating words. And there's no faith connection, no mind connection. You're just repeating stuff. Just repeating stuff. Counting rosaries. Just repeating stuff. But there's no faith attached. You're just going through a ritualistic act. Same things. That's vain reputation. You don't really believe that you're going to get the result that you're looking for. He says, the heathen, the unbelieving, they repeat themselves that way. And they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them. That is the heathen that's busy repeating himself. For your father, this is what you got to know, for your father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him. Your father knows what you need before you ask him. He already knows. And he knew it before you were born. He didn't know it when the need showed up. He knew it before you were born. He knew that on such and such a day, you're going to have such and such a need. And God is not a procrastinator. He doesn't procrastinate. And, oops, we forgot. Yeah. We better solve this problem now. No, God knew about it, resolved it before you were even born. Just understand that. Before you were even born, whatever your needs were, God knew and had already provided for those needs before you ever faced that problem. Amen? It's important that you and I get that point, because what that means is that you don't need to worry. Amen? Absolutely no need to worry. I remember, I think I've told you this story before, I was driving from San Bernardino, California, to Costa Mesa, where I was schooling. And while I was driving, I had to turn off the freeway because I wanted to get some gas or something. No, I was having some issues with my car. So I turned off the highway, and I got lost. And I got to this freeway stop, and my car died right there. Bang, died. It's about 7 o'clock in the evening. I'm still maybe 40, 50 minutes away from Costa Mesa. I'm sitting in that car. I come out, I pop the hood. There's a lineup of vehicles behind me. I'm blocking traffic. I pop the hood and I'm looking at it like somebody who knows what's happening in there. Clueless. I don't know nothing about what's going on in there. And supposed they're coming out from their vehicles to try to help me. And one guy was coming from my right, and the Lord says to me, go home with him. I don't know this guy. I don't know this place. The Lord says, go home with him. So everybody's trying, And this guy hangs around. He hangs around. And he says, where are you going? I told him where I was going. He says, oh, man, you're far away from there. And I had no money. No money. The guy says to me, he says, let's push this car out of the way. So we pushed it out of the way. And he says, you know what? Why don't you come home with me? And tomorrow we'll come and figure out about this car, what we're going to do with this car. I said, thank you so very much. I went home with him, had a nice supper, and slept well, in a nice bed. Next day, the guy comes with me. We come to the vehicle. He does some stuff to the vehicle, and he follows me all the way to my school. I park the car and says, I'm going to come back and help you with this. God knew. He knew what I needed, even though I did not know what I needed. And guess what? I didn't have to pray for him to be there. God spoke about it because he already solved the problem. Wait a minute. You mean God knew that you're going to have a car problem? Yes. So why didn't he stop you from having the car problem? Because he wanted me to have a testimony to tell you today that God already knew my problem before. Amen? Hallelujah. So you got to, you know, when you think like God, you see the circumstances are there for a positive reason. There's a positive reason for the issue that you're facing. God has gone through all of it and resolved it already. Amen? Hallelujah? So, God knows what you need, and he has already made provision for it. He says, be not like unto them, for your Father knoweth. He knoweth what things ye have need of. If it just stopped there, that would have been good enough. But it says, before you ask him. So, you know, when you're still very young in faith and you try to figure out things, you know, I don't think I have many. I think maybe this one particular point in a message, every message is right on. But, you know, so 50 years from now, it doesn't matter if you pull a tape or a CD or whatever, an MP3 or whatever it is that we'll be having 50 years from now, it will still be as current. But there was something I said many years ago, and I said it for a reason. Because I lost sight of how God deals with stuff. And I remember teaching this, and after making that statement, I said, I don't think that's right. And the statement was this: if you have a need, blow it up as big as you can so you don't miss anything. Blow it up. Add everything that you can think about that is a contingency about that particular, and then at least, you know, God can handle all of it and your small issue plus whatever else that you added to it. That's foolish teaching. That's not the truth. The truth is, God already knows whatever it is that you have need of, and you don't have to blow up anything. So he simplifies it for us. God, who knows everything, knows about everything that you need, that you will ever need. And the reason for praying is more about a relationship than it's about a need being met. Let me Let me make that statement again, because it's crucial. The reason for praying is more about a relationship more than a need being met. It's about you and God communicating, reasoning together. And when you are linked up with God, He will tell you what to pray. He will tell you what to say. That's who He is. Now, you've heard me tell this story before, so I'll tell it again. We had an air conditioning problem here in the church. We have a well from whence we pull during the summer months. Pull cool water from a well, and we run it through a rad system, and then it's pumped out, and the coolness comes and cools the place. But the pump was broken. And I kept on asking, you know, about how much it was going to cost to fix this problem. And they would tell me anywhere from $20,000 to $30,000, stuff like that. That money we did not have. We had our dear late brother, R.W. Schambach. He had been here. And this place was packed out, and people were just hot, sweaty hot. And now, it's almost a year later, and Papa Morris Cerullo was coming, and my problem was still not solved, and I knew we were going to face the same situation again. And I've been talking to the Lord about this situation from when R.W. was here. And I'm coming down Main Street. I actually went to that my Burger King today. I'm coming down Main Street, and the Lord says to me, just say, let there be a Burger King. Say, let there be a Burger King. And I'm wondering, what connection Burger King with the Lord? Is God going to be eating Burger King now? What's the interest? Well, I kept on. Forgot about it. Cut a long story short, months later, the Burger King at the corner of Enniskillen, I think it's called, Enniskillen, and Main Street, was being put up. I didn't know it was a Burger King. But the equipment that we needed to come solve the problem we needed to solve here, that which was the bulk of the bill of that $20,000, $30,000, is this particular equipment was installing the last piece on the Burger King. The Burger King that God said, I should say, let there be a Burger King. My answer to the prayer was praying, God, we need this problem solved. I need money to solve this problem. And there was no money coming. God had another way of answering that prayer, provided somebody who came here. Fortunately, somebody else was listening to the Lord, because Bra West had gone and loosened everything that needed to be, all the preliminary things that needed to be done. He just felt led to go do that. Nobody told him to go do nothing there, but he went there and did all of that. And when the guy came with his equipment, everything was prepped, and all he did was carefully take out this long pipe that was maybe about 20, 30 maybe 40 feet, 50 feet. I know it was actually higher than this building. So I don't know how many feet that is. You know, carefully, we got the pump out and put on the lawn over here before MPIC came here. And what God was going to do exceedingly far beyond what we dare ask or think. So what did God do? We found somebody who came to install the pump. Well, that person had a friend. The friend insulates pipes. So while this guy was doing what he was putting in there, he says, "You must be. It must be costing you a lot to heat this place." I said, "Yeah, it costs a lot." He said, "You know what? You know why it's costing you that much?" I said, "No. All your pipes are exposed. You should insulate all this stuff." How much is that going to cost? I don't know. I have a friend. So he gets his friend. And the friend comes here. And to insulate everything, do all the stuff that they needed to do, it's going to cost a whole bunch of thousands of dollars. The guy comes, does what he needed to do, and says, "For free." Huh? Hallelujah. For free. I'm not talking 2,000 or 5,000 or 6,000 or 7,000 that this guy wrote off. I don't know him from Adam. It started from "Let there be Burger King." And here God keeps on going. He said he will do exceedingly far beyond anything that you dare ask or think. Ye have need of before you ask him. He knows what you need before you ask him. God knew that while I was praying for the money to fix that problem over here, that really what I needed was more than that. I needed stuff being insulated. So the guy insulated everything, went underneath the building, insulated into the banquet hall. All the pipes insulated. Everything. The next year, gas bill, poof, went up. A few months later, went up. And now I'm still paying about the same that I used to pay. But if I had not had that job done, oh Lord God, have mercy. I was losing about 40% of my heat. By the time the heat goes from there right through and back to the boiler room, 40% is gone. Came out at 140. And when it gets back, the temperature is about 80, 90. And if it's a real cold day, you know what? So your furnace is just working. God saved me from that problem. So bottom line is this. God knows what your need is. Amen? And he has already solved it. So the thing then is to find out how to download that which he has already provided down here. Now we know what the password is. It's in the name of Jesus. Amen? We know that's a password. But do you have a username that's recognizable? Does God recognize your username? Do angels recognize you? Does anybody recognize you? Because if you are not recognized, you cannot be rewarded publicly, openly. Now, if your username is recognized by people in the earth realm, because they're already heaping you with accolades and whatever else, you get no access point with the Father. He's not going to reward you. And that's the problem many times. It's not that we are not praying. It's that we are praying so that people know about it. And there's no open reward. I close with this next statement. After service last Sunday evening, the dear sister shared a testimony with me. He said, I had gone to visit somebody, thinking in the hospital or something, somewhere. And the person said, where do you attend church? He said, Glory and Peace. He said, oh, I know that church. How do you know it? He said, my mother was on a deathbed. They had given her just a few hours to live. And so I called the church and I talked to your pastor. He said to me, strange. I wasn't supposed to be here at this time. I forgot something. I came in just now just to get it and leave. He said, I asked him to pray for my mother. So he prayed. He says, my mother was discharged and lived another 7+ years. That's the person that was supposed to die in a few hours. God answered. And I can assure you, I don't even remember this. I don't even remember the situation. And I don't think I prayed a long prayer either. I didn't have any fancy words. There were no emotional connections, you know, like you know the person, so you go. I did nothing. But God needed a point of contact, somebody that had a username that's recognizable, who has a password that is correct, and he solved the problem. And there are testimonies like that I've never heard. Now and then I will hear a testimony. And the same thing is true about you. You prayed about something, you didn't know what happened with that situation. Nobody came back to tell you this is what happened. But God answered. And the point is this, God always answers. Amen? He always answers. Even when you didn't know that he had answered, he's answered because he already knew your need or whatever it is you're going to ask before you asked it. So you don't have to be this incredible, smart physician. No, actually, if you know too much... If you know too much, the too much that you know might become a problem. This is an impossible situation. This is going to create that complication and that complication. And you start thinking about it, and by the time you finish praying, you've prayed yourself into unbelief. So sometimes it's best not to know nothing. That's why it's important to have the Holy Spirit who prays for us, who helps intercede for us, you know, and speaks on our behalf, you know, in ways that we cannot express. Bottom line is this. God knows and God answers. Amen? So relax. Because you're not going to fix your problem yourself. If you're going to fix it yourself, then you didn't have to pray. You just go fix it yourself. If you have to pray, know that God has it in control. He knows exactly what to do. And he can do it better than you can. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the grace granted us by your word. Granted us by your presence. Granted us by the integrity of who you are. We are thankful and we honor you. And we say, Lord God, thanks for answering prayers. Thanks for meeting needs in our lives. Thank you, Lord, that when we do not know what or how to pray, you know. Even before we ask, you know. And so, Lord, oh God, we come before you now. And we ask, oh God, that you do for us even that which we've not asked for, because you know that we have need of it. Do this, oh God, because of your loving kindness and your tender mercies. Thank you, Father, that every need is met according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We surrender ourselves to you, not repeating ourselves vainly, but declaring by faith, knowing that you're the God who loves us and that you're the God who's well able to meet every need. We receive the answers that we need from you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise God. God bless you richly, and stay encouraged in the Lord. We bless you, those of you listening online. May the Lord continue to uphold you with his right hand of righteousness. And may you know his peace, which passes all understanding. Join us as we continue our worship of the Lord in giving. And we look forward to ministering to you this Friday in the prayer service, and also this next Sunday morning and evening, as the word of God comes forth to you. And be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord. Good night. Love you.